Real Business Owners.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast. Guys, this is episode 78 with myself, Trevor Cowley, Kel Goodman as always.
What's up, everybody?
Guys, today's topic is just about the current climate. You know, the current climate is full of uncertainty, you know, with everything that's going on. You know, we don't even know who the president of the United States is going to be moving forward quite yet, right? You know, it's been announced Joe Biden. And then
maybe they'll know,
you know,
when this podcast comes out next week.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Or in a couple of weeks.
You know, that would be too easy for 2020 to give us the answers quick, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
So I definitely think, you know, whatever's going on is going to drag out just a little bit throughout probably the end of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got... I guess by the time this podcast comes out, it'll probably be, you know, 5 weeks or so left in the year. Guys, the idea is to continue making moves no matter what's going on in the current climate. Mm-hmm. You know, us as entrepreneurs, as individuals that are constantly leveling up, there's going to be things that will happen that are outside of our control. That's just life, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, we can choose to focus on the things that we don't have much control over and let that consume us. Or we can use that same energy and that same enthusiasm to focus on the controllables.
Right.
Are you controlling the controllables, right? You know, there are things in your life that you have the ability to control, whether you get sucked into the nonsense that's going on right now, or whether you stay focused or double down on what you're doing. When everybody else is uncertain, I believe that there's opportunity for the people that are still making moves, right? You know, we basically just wanted to do a podcast because it's the current climate and, you know, we're talking about current events and this is stuff that, you know, we're guilty of getting sucked into as well, whether it's on Facebook or social media or whatever it is. You know, we've made a couple posts on the Instagram stories about, you know, some of our feelings of, you know, everything that's transpired this year.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, we try to stay out of, you know, religious shit or politics and try to stay pretty focused on business stuff, you know, but at the end of the day, we're all human beings. We all get sucked into the, you know, wrong hole or go in the wrong direction sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not serving us. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of kind of snapping back, you know, focusing on you, focusing on your business, focusing on what you have the ability to control, because nobody else is responsible for how your life ends up. You know, somebody said the other day, Warren Buffett's rich and he's been through 8 Democrat presidents and 8 Republican presidents.
Yeah.
You know, so at the end of the day, yes, are there things that a president can change that can affect you?
There are, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There is, right? But again, that's an uncontrollable situation.
For you personally,
mm-hmm. That you can't let it dictate your decisions or your future.
Yeah.
You know, whether the tax bracket's, you know, 40%, 50%, 60%, you know, whatever it is, you know, that's the hand that we've been dealt and that's the hand that we've got to play and that's the hand that we've got to try to win with, right?
I mean, let's talk about that, man, because I was just looking at that. You know, the highest tax rates we've ever had in history is
like 80 or 90% or something like that, like in the '70s or something.
Dude, it was crazy. 91% income tax was the highest, and it was for 1952 and 1953. That was 92%, and then reverting back to 91%. For years 1954 through 1963.
Well, that was nice of them to drop it down 1%.
I know.
From 92 to 91.
Yeah. It was generous. Very generous.
Exactly.
But no, I mean, here's the funny thing is I was actually watching, whenever I hear things like this, it kind of piques my interest because we're in an accounting industry. And
yeah.
So I was actually watching a documentary, though, about
higher tax brackets and taxes or whatever.
Exactly. And nobody paid that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So even though that's what it was on paper, there's still always the tax code.
Yeah.
And the tax code is actually really a great thing for everybody, right?
Yeah.
Like it's not – if, you know, in tax-free wealth in the book, it talks about how literally only 0.5% of the tax code is actually designed to just suck money from you as a taxpayer. The other 99.5% of the tax code is actually more of a guide, right?
Mm.
It's a guide on showing you what we want you to put – the IRS or the federal government saying what we want you to put your money into – to stimulate our economy and the growth of our country, of our world.
That's why they have tax credits and things like that
exactly,
as well, right?
Exactly.
Like,
energy
hey, we want
tax
you to invest
credits
into this.
Like, dude, like literally the child tax credits were imposed because they wanted people to populate.
Yeah.
They wanted more people to help grow our economy, our world, yeah, our society, right?
Yeah.
So there's tax credits just for having kids. There's for business owners, obviously hundreds and hundreds of tax deductions and yeah, tax credits as well. I mean, we've had people on here talking about research and development tax credits. That's obviously something that really benefits and stimulates the economy, because when great minds are motivated to really research and develop products and systems and processes and things for our country and business, obviously creates more jobs, more taxpayers, right?
Yeah.
And so really the tax code is designed to do that. And so some of these changes that we're hearing about, like in Biden's proposed tax plan, I've got some of them put up here right now. They want to propose, okay, and this is nothing set in stone, but yeah, they want to propose that individual income tax brackets go back up to a maximum of 40%, which isn't like a huge increase, 36% right now. So that's only 4% for the top tax bracket.
Yeah.
That's not counting state taxes, though. So it
yeah,
is still high. Like,
yeah,
I mean, nobody wants to work to give half their money away, right?
Yeah.
Capital gains. This one is the one that I don't like, because I feel like real estate, although I highly doubt they'll take away depreciations and things, I feel like real estate is like so gangster for long-term tax deductions,
yeah,
and like retirement, right?
Yeah.
Like those are a lot of people's long-term retirement plans, because you can stimulate the economy, you can provide places to live, and you can utilize your depreciations, hardly pay any tax on what does positively cash flow from it. And that's great for like retirement, people that can't go work anymore.
Or when they sell the property.
Yeah.
You know, capital gains taxes right now anywhere from 15 to 20%.
Exactly. And they
right?
want to propose it going back up to over 40%.
Yeah.
So it just says over 40%. I don't know if that's 40 or 42
yeah,
or 45, right? And so they want an elimination of self-employment tax, which is Social Security. So I don't know why they would do that, because they, you know.
That's your Social Security.
Yeah, they've campaigned really hard on not taking that away from people.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how that would affect things. But self-employment tax, I mean, that might be nice. That's why a lot of people set up S-corps versus sole proprietorships, is to start reducing self-employment
yeah,
tax. But taking
yeah,
it away, I don't know. I don't know what that would look like. Corporate tax rate to go back up from 21% to 28%, elimination or partially elimination of the qualified business income deduction. They want to take away child tax credits, which would hurt a lot of people in the lower income brackets.
Yeah.
That would not be cool at all. Repatriation of profits, which is, you know, basically they're proposing, hey, the things that we've taken away from other countries for our profit, they want to go give back, right? So some of this stuff is just stupid. Like, oh, well, you did that, so I want to do this. It's kind of like Trump saying, you know, hey, I'm going to put America first, and now Biden's coming out and saying, no, I'm going to put America last. We need to go around and we need to make things right with people. And
mm-hmm,
so it's kind of weird. They're just
yeah,
opposing each other on purpose, which
yeah,
is so stupid.
Yeah.
So I don't know. A lot of these things don't make a ton of sense. They want to get away from as much energy tax incentives, like the things we talked about, tax credits in the energy field. They want to reduce the amount of itemized deductions, and they obviously want to reform healthcare, you know, and the tax, the way it looks tax-wise on that. So it's just really important. I mean, that's just a quick list of a lot of things they're proposing, but I think it's really important to understand that, like, no matter what they do, the tax code is so in-depth, it's so large, and if you have, like, proper planning, that's
yeah,
the thing that people need
yeah,
to take accountability for,
yeah,
right? Like, okay, I've got to reach out to some experts. I've got to actually work with those experts and do some planning the second we know these things are going to go into effect, to make sure that I'm not paying really, you know, 92% in taxes.
Yeah. You know, and it brings up another good point in terms of talking about doing better tax planning. And the reason why I state that is because right now we have one of the lower tax brackets that we've ever had, right?
Right.
And that's obviously also supposed to stimulate the economy. So, you know, giving money back to the people, to where then the people can use it, spend it, buy houses, cars, you know, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But
which
you know,
it does.
Yeah, it absolutely it does.
I mean, people argue about the Amazon thing, for example. Well, sure,
yeah,
maybe Amazon didn't pay taxes on their billions of dollars, but Jeff Bezos did pay taxes.
Yes. Yeah, he paid taxes.
Millions of jobs were created We're down taxpayers,
and
right?
He had to match, obviously, the taxes on all those people's paychecks.
Right.
So there's millions and millions and millions, tens of millions probably getting paid in taxes, maybe just in a different form than, you know, Amazon, the corporation itself, mm-hmm. then paying taxes after all of the taxes that they've already paid, whether it's matching the, you know, Social Security, Medicare, whatever it is, right? But the whole point of this is to start doing tax planning now. And the reason why I state that is because if you look at the way that the world is, or I guess the U.S., the direction that we're moving, we're getting deeper and deeper into debt. And so when you get deeper and deeper into debt, something has to give, something has to change. You have to have more coming in than going out, just mm-hmm. like your personal budget, right?
Right.
And so if we're continuing to go in the hole year after year after year, that means eventually the tax rates are going to continue to rise,
right?
The tax rates in 10 years or 20 years may be up towards that 60% tax bracket or 70%. Who knows?
Right.
But I will tell you this, I'm fairly certain that over the next, you know, 10 or 20 years, no matter who's president, there's going to be some tax hikes over those next two decades or decade or whatever it may be. And so the reason why I'm stating this now is because in some cases, accountants or CPAs talk about ways to defer your taxes by making investments mm-hmm. into this account, 401ks or whatever it may be. So you could take money off of this year's books, so to speak, by investing, you know, $56,000 or whatever it is per person into a 401k, and you're not paying any tax on that. It's actually reducing your tax liability for this year.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is, you know, in 20 years, when you pull that money out, you might be pulling out at a 50 or 60% tax bracket rather than just paying your 25 or 30% now,
yeah.
right? So even though it can reduce your taxes today, and everybody likes to think about right now, their current situation,
exactly.
and they make decisions based upon where they are currently, not where they want to be financially.
Right.
And so if you continue to do that and you're basically, you know, kicking the can down the road in terms of paying taxes on some of this money because you're deferring it in investment strategies or whatever it is, to pull out later when you're older, that might not bode well for you.
Right.
You know, you may get hit even harder at that point. So that's just something to think about. And if tax rates continue to go up, that's going to obviously increase the importance of proper planning,
right.
which I don't think that side of it's a bad thing, because people should be doing that anyways. And I think higher tax brackets are going to force people to take a look outside of what they currently do in order to find a new solution.
Well, that's just the thing, man, is like, I don't care what side of the spectrum you're on politically.
Yeah.
The blue or the red.
Yeah.
They both are in some big pockets, right?
Yeah.
They've both got big pocket people that they owe favors to. The tax code, the tax increases, and these things, they don't affect those companies. They just don't, because
they already know the wealthy system,
the people and measures in place. There's people right now planning for if new tax plan or new tax codes do get you know, accepted,
implemented,
right?
Yeah.
If they do get passed, and so they already know, like, oh, this ain't gonna affect the wealthy on either side. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't care what they campaign on, like, oh, we're all about taxing the wealthy to give you more. No.
The wealthy have the most resources.
These hikes are designed to hurt the low and middle class every single time. And you're going to stay middle class if you do not plan ahead, just like the wealthy do.
Yeah.
And so it does take, like, personal accountability. Like, okay, I'm going to take charge and take advantage of these things in the tax code, because every little bill that's going to be passed, there's going to be something you can do about it to get around it.
Yeah.
And that's how it works time after time again, decade after decade, president after president.
Yeah. I mean, look, I made money when Bush was president. We made money when Obama was president. Yeah, we had a tough year or two, you know, in 2012 or 13.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I would take accountability for those tough years. That wasn't due to who was in office.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to point blame at another individual based upon the effort that I put in that year. You know, maybe we weren't focused in the areas that we needed to be focused on. Maybe we weren't focused on self-improvement or growing individually or focused on growing the business. At that point, we were just kind of maintaining the business and we weren't on the offense, right? I would say back then, we were more of a defensive player. And what I mean by that, we would build something and be on the offense there. But then after that, when it would start working, we would just show up on a day-to-day basis and just do the day-to-day operations.
Right.
And you're not trying to do new things or incorporate new ideas into the business because it's already working. Therefore, you don't think that changes need to be made. Where we're at now mentally is we're always on the offense looking at our business, even if it's spitting out a ton of money. Where could we ultimately improve? Mm-hmm. What else can we change to make the product better or the service better? Can we, you know, get more people to call these individuals and be a little bit more proactive with the customer? Can we, you know, so we're always looking internally to try to figure out a way to make our process better. And I think that that's why we've seen the growth that we've seen.
Yeah.
And we've been able to have the success that we've had the last few years is because we're always on the offense, always testing, always trying, mm-hmm. always investing. You know, we're never just settling, so to speak, getting to a certain point and just trying to maintain. Because you could do that for a period of time, but if all your focus is on maintaining, eventually you'll hit a decline, right? Whether it's a Hollywood video or Blockbuster video, they just kept their business model. They didn't try to innovate. They didn't go on the offense. They just maintained what they had, and it worked for a long period of time. But then somebody else came in and innovated.
Right.
And right? So the idea is to always be looking at your business in an innovative way to figure out how you can continue to make progress, right? So it doesn't matter whether the tax bracket's 30%, 40%, 50%. You know, there's going to be ways around it, and that's what accountants and CPAs get paid to do, mm-hmm. is they get to figure out what the current tax code is and how to utilize it to your advantage rather than disadvantage, right? So a lot of people sit there and look at taxes like, it's you versus the tax code,
right.
When in reality, the tax code's there to actually help you.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that most people aren't using it to their advantage. They're actually becoming to the point where it's a disadvantage to them,
yeah.
because they're not educated. And when they're not educated on the tax code, and then they don't reach out to somebody who is educated, then yes, you're paying the price because you're an idiot,
yeah.
right? Because you're choosing to stay dumb to what you have the possibility to do or what you can do with the current tax code, because it is large. And, you know, the reality is most accountants and CPAs just kind of do the basics.
Yeah.
You know, hey, let's take your car deduction. Let's take a home deduction mm-hmm. for your home office. Let's get your miles in or, you know, whatever it is. It's always just super basic stuff.
Right.
You know, I remember before we owned an accounting firm and we were working with a CPA. And, you know, I expected to owe an additional like 15 grand on top of what I had already paid in that year. And he came back and said it was 26 grand. And I said, ooh. And he says, well, let me work on that a little bit more. You know, he came back and said it was 21 grand. And I said, still higher than what I expected and what I had calculated. I expect to owe 15 to 18 grand.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, let me work on some things. Comes back and I owe 16 grand. But why didn't he come to me first
right.
with the 16 grand number? What that tells me is they'll do the least amount that they possibly can to satisfy you. And if you're not satisfied, then they'll continue to take another look
yeah.
or a third look or yeah. whatever it is.
I mean, the tax code is the tax code, man.
Exactly.
Help me take everything mm-hmm. I'm legally eligible to take.
Exactly.
It's funny, I was writing some of our topics last night. You know,
yeah.
I've been banging out some
yeah.
topics for our email list going mm-hmm. out this year. And I actually wrote a story on that is because we have one topic, is your accountant help holding you accountable? Right. And so I actually wrote kind of a true story here of,
yeah.
of some things that we've dealt with as a company. And I did have a customer ask me one time, said, you know, listen, I don't know anything in this field. I don't want to know anything in this
mm-hmm.
field. So what is the number one thing I should be looking for when finding a new accountant? Because I'm sick of running this problem over
yeah.
and over again.
Yeah.
And I remember telling her, and I wrote this story, I was like, listen, that is the biggest problem, okay? And it's not just on your end as a client. It's also on the accountant's end, right? Like, accountants say things like, well, they're not calling me back. They're not communicating with me. I can't be the only one caring about their money. If they're not going to care
yeah.
about their money, I can't
yeah.
care about their money,
yeah.
which is true.
Yes.
But it is your money. If
yeah.
your client walks out the door, you just lost money,
yeah.
right? And so what can we do in order to solve this big, huge disconnect between business owners and clients? And that's what I told her. I said, listen, you've got to be accountable to do your end of the deal, and accountants have got to be accountable to have the right systems, processes in place to take care of you the way that you need to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the number one thing you should be looking for. Do you actually have an accountant that helps hold you accountable, right? Because they know business owners don't want to do this shit, okay? But you've got to go into the relationship
Understanding that communication is a two-way street.
It is.
You know what I mean? Like, yes. And I was guilty of that back in the day, just giving my taxes over and saying, mm-hmm. hey, you know, hoping that they're going to – when you pay somebody, you expect them to, you know, try to service you in the best possible way, right?
Right.
And go
but how many people ghost us,
you know,
all the time? Like, yeah, and then exactly. They're like, well, why aren't my books cleaned up? Well, dude, we've been sending you emails, calls, and texts for 8 months and you haven't been replying.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why now when we bring a client on board, we try and set proper expectations of like, look, we don't want your business if this ain't going to be a two-way street. Yeah. Are you willing to invest 15 minutes a month to save you 15 to 20 hours of headache time at the end of the year?
Yeah.
All of them say yes. Now that we have that established, okay, cool, let's move forward. But my systems and processes have got to really do what they say they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And they've got to, you know, we've got to do our end to make sure that we're helping hold that client accountable. And that client, they need to pick up the phone. They need to dedicate, they need to put that on their calendar every month to say, that is my call with my accountant.
Yeah.
Right. And you should always communicate with your accountant at least 12 times a year just on book cleanup. But you should always communicate with them on strategizing at least 3 to 5 times a year. You know, so whether that be an initial tax plan review middle of the year, year-end tax planning, make sure nothing's missed. You know, so you've got to make that. And it's not a lot of time.
Yeah.
But you've got to be willing to invest it as the client in order for the accountant to be successful. And the accountant needs to have the right systems and processes and do what they say they're going to do
yeah.
in order for it to work for the client. And so it goes both ways.
Well, I think sometimes we get caught up, you know, with our own bias to a certain extent where it feels like, oh, you know, I'm having to deal with this tax hike or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Look, other people have gone through it too.
Yeah.
There's people that became wealthy in the 50s and 60s and 70s when the tax brackets were a lot higher than they're at right now.
Yeah.
That's why it's super important to take advantage of what you can take advantage of currently when things are low. Don't just get complacent, not do tax planning because you could be leaving a lot of money on the table, and then you only start tax planning when you think that they're taking a little bit more than they should, so to speak,
right.
Because now you're all of a sudden the proactive guy. You know, we get biased in the fact that we feel like nobody's in our current situation. Nobody understands how we feel, right?
Right.
You know, whether it's in business and you feel defeated, right? Like everybody has bad weeks, bad months or whatever. You get into a funk sometimes and get in your own head and you start feeling exhausted, tired, whatever it is. Stressed, you feel anxiety because your business isn't working the way that you wanted it to, and that feels like you're kind of the only one in the world dealing with those emotions. All of those emotions are emotions that other human beings have felt as well, probably in your exact same scenario as an entrepreneur, but these are emotions that they've had to work through, go through, and overcome. Same with taxes, tax mm-hmm. codes. These are things that you're going to have to go through, things that you're going to have to figure out how to overcome. You know, there's going to be a million different hurdles on the path to success,
right.
Whether it's something that happens through the government, you know, whether it's something that happens like a natural disaster, a hurricane hits and it knocks your business out or whatever it is, or a COVID situation. There's always going to be various situations that we can place blame. But at the end of the day, I just barely stated that we struggled in 2012 when we had no mm-hmm. money in the bank, 66 grand in credit card debt. We were floating the business on a credit card. And we could sit there and say, oh, well, that's when Obama was in office. It's his fault. No, those were decisions that we made on a day-to-day basis that put us in that situation. It wasn't the individual sitting in some chair in some city that, you know, we're not even close to, right? And so the idea is it's pointless to focus external.
Right.
Like, and I think that we're all caught up doing that right now. You know, again, guilty as charged, right? We're both guilty of getting caught up into, you know, arguments or the current climate or whatever, who's voting for who, you know, all of that shit. But at the end of the day, what's going to happen is going to happen, you know, whether we like it or not, whether it's Biden, whether it's Trump, that's unforeseen yet. I personally believe that Trump will still be in office based upon some of the things that I've seen and heard. But again, I could be wrong.
Right.
You know, we can go ahead and put this on tape and, you know, cycle back in a month or two.
Trip said he was wrong.
Yeah. Well, if I'm wrong, then we can cycle back and say, hey, you're fucking – he's wrong. And then stamp it with a big red. Yeah. He's wrong. You know, I doubt that'll happen. But at the end of the day – to me, I'm going to stop wasting energy on who's in office and who's not.
Into,
and so, you know, and again, the only reason why, you know, we lean, you know, to the right a little bit more is because we are entrepreneurs. We do focus on the tax side of thing a little bit more. And if taxes are going up, we're kind of against, you know, paying more taxes, because as a business owner, it's already hard enough to be successful. You got to get business licenses, LLCs.
There's a fee for everything.
You got to pay for your accounting. You got to pay for workman's comp.
You got to freaking
pay unemployment taxes or unemployment you know, match the taxes on the payroll. I mean, we're already paying so much just to play. And so then when you add even more restrictions to the tax code in terms of what we have the ability to utilize, you know, then it just feels like in some cases, what's the point? You know, we're paying to play. Mm-hmm. And then we also then get hit on the backside as well during this whole time. I mean, I was doing some numbers in my head just the other day. I mean, we pay $500,000 to $600,000 a year just in payroll tax.
Right.
Us matching taxes, because our payroll is like, you know, roughly six million a year. You know, between all of our companies.
It is. Yeah.
And so you're talking, you know, roughly 7% or whatever it is. Maybe it's closer to $400,000, $500,000, somewhere right around there. That's how much we pay just to employ people. To give them
on
their
top of
paycheck,
their pay. Right.
On top of their pay,
right?
Right, and so by the time you factor that, I mean, that's a lot of money. That's $30,000 to $40,000 a month that we pay just to employ people.
But what did we see over the last 3.5 years? You know, with the incentives, we were able to give raises. We were able to employ more people. We were able to grow.
Yeah,
you know, and it also grew the economy, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why we believe in that stuff, you know, because we've seen firsthand how it works. We've seen firsthand how not only it has an impact on our life, but the people that work within our organization's life. And so it's hard, you know. I've gotten sucked into those arguments.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a few of my friends on you know social media that
we're all guilty
that
of
argue
it.
For the left and I argue for the right.
Yeah.
And, dude, I can't stay sucked into it for very long. I told my wife today, I was like, I am so glad I'm on 75 hard right now, because
forces you to focus on different shit.
How can you not watch the TV and the media? You know what I mean? There's really not an unbiased media.
Like, yeah.
I don't care which side you watch.
Biased.
And so you're just wanting to hear the result. Okay, what's the result? What's the direction? Who's
That's
our
all
leader?
I wanna know,
who's
right?
our country leader?
Yeah.
And so it's like, I'm just, and they're stringing out. Next thing you know, you're watching it on your phone before you go to bed, and you're watching it while you're, you know, if you're me, out on my outdoor workout, like, damn, when are they going to tell us, you know? And then you argue with people online. It's like, oh,
you can't even take a shit in peace, you
right?
know? You pull out your phone and the first thing that you look at is some political shit, you know? So the idea of the podcast, guys, is just to remind you that we are the type of people that thrive in uncertainty. Mm-hmm. You know, we are entrepreneurs. We're business owners. You know, that's what we do, is we go against the grain.
Yeah.
You know, uncertainty is what we live every single day. You know, when we choose to go into a business that we don't know for sure is going to be successful. We don't know how successful it's going to be. We're stepping into uncertainty because the numbers or statistics say the majority of businesses fail.
Yeah.
So obviously you're stepping into a lot of uncertainty when you choose to become an entrepreneur or you choose to start a business. And so you're choosing to go in uncertainty here, but then when something happens outside of your control that's uncertain, then all of a sudden it's pulling you down, right? And so, again, focus on the things that you have the ability to control, and remember that you thrive in uncertain scenarios. That's why you are where you are, and that's why you are who you are, right? And again, if there's challenges that we face over the next 4 years in terms of taxes, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You can choose to sit there and bitch and moan about, you know, the current situation or climate or whatever it is. Do I want to pay more taxes? Absolutely not.
Right.
You know, of course I don't. Nobody wants to pay more taxes, you know, but at the end of the day, if that's the hand that we're dealt, that's the hand that we're going to have to play, and we're going to have to play it the best we possibly can. And the best way to do that is making sure that you're always thinking ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just think about right now and do a tax plan to default money, default, so that you know, pull money out of retirement in 20 years and then get hit with 50 or 60% wondering why the hell did I even do that when I could have put that, you know, paid capital gains tax of 15 or 20% now on a property instead of doing the 1031 exchange and rolling it into a new property. Maybe you could pay that 10 or 20% now and see what happens with the current climate in 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, or whatever the tax plan is going to be. Because if you hang on to that property and then it ends up going to 40%, now you're paying double in tax on that property that maybe you invested in 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or whatever it
is.
Right. So these are all things that you need to be kind of thinking about.
And also even holding assets too, man. I mean, if capital gains doubles, don't sell the property. Capital gains is on the profits of the property that was gained, right, through the time. And so, so you know, it might just be have to hold on and just continue paying on your passive income. You know, you just have to keep paying on your income taxes from those properties if they're investment properties or whatever. But I'd like to even add on to that, though, and just tell people, like, you know, rest easy about this stuff, man. Yeah. I mean, there's some great minds, some great experts that are already planning ahead. They're already looking at these potential tax options. One, 2-3 years ahead, if this plan's passed. If it's not passed, they're already making the plans to adjust their plans for clients.
Yeah.
But it is still on you. Yeah. You know, you have to you cannot have financial habits, good financial habits, if you do not make taxes a part of your planning, a part of your actual habits of financial habits. Like, people think they have good financial habits when they're just sticking to their budget. You've got to make your accounting, especially if you're in business, a part. You got to make your tax planning a part of your financial habits if you really want to continue to grow. And you can grow no matter what the climate is, tax-wise or, you know, business-wise. You can grow, but it does require you putting forth the effort to make sure those plans are happening.
To me, it doesn't matter who gets in office. I still think tax planning is important because if Trump's in office and it's lower, 1,000%. You still should want to pay lower and continue to plan to pay as least as possible. If it's Biden, you're still going to want to plan to try to pay as least as possible. Mm-hmm. So let's say you don't plan when Trump's in office, lower tax, and you pay X amount. I bet you if you actually started spending money on tax planning when Biden's, you'll probably end up with the exact same because you're actually having an expert plan with you and helping you, you know, move what needs to be moved money-wise or whatever it is in order to reduce your tax liability. So, there's going to be things that everybody can do to help still reduce those taxes as long as you're utilizing the resources that are out there and that are available. I just don't think enough people tap into some of the resources that are available and use them to their advantage. They just kind of go with the flow and, you know, hand over their P&Ls or the end of year financials to an accountant and say, here you go. And then whatever happens, you know, happens, and you pay the check that you need to pay or you get the refund that you know, it's funny to me because, you know, there's some people like the one you were talking about yesterday. Oh, I only pay my accountant $300 to do my taxes and I got a refund.
Yeah.
So automatically it's good because they got a refund. Mm-hmm. Even if it was a $1,000 refund, it wouldn't matter that if they would have paid somebody else or done a tax plan, maybe they could have got $10,000 back in a refund. Mm-hmm. But as long as it's a refund, in their eyes, it's considered good.
Yeah.
Not all refunds are good refunds, so to speak, right? So maybe that's just the basic refund that you qualify because you overpaid a little bit in taxes, but are you really using the code then at that point to put you over the top and get that extra $5,000 or $10,000?
What was the actual tax liability? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care what you got in a refund. Did you pay 12%? Did you pay 30%,
exactly.
You know, like, it doesn't matter what you got in a refund. And so proper planning, you wouldn't get any refund. You would just know, oh, I only paid 5% throughout the year because I planned.
Yeah.
Right? You paid the actual minimum possible. But, dude, a prime example is the sales tax nexus that happened a few years ago with all the surge, all the online business owners. How many business owners got stomped out because they were like, they couldn't track all their sales tax. They weren't filing it properly. They didn't know what they're doing. There was no planning. They didn't. Yeah. They just were entrepreneurs trying to make money online, right? Mm-hmm. And then all these people actually shut down their businesses, a lot of them, because they're like, I can't do all this. This isn't even worth it. I just only want to sell my local state or whatever. But if they would have done proper planning, if they would have got educated or at least hired a good expert and worked with them, the bottom line is like when you're paying in multiple states, those are all tax credits that you can actually utilize to wash out other sales taxes in your state. You if you do it right and you address you implement the proper formulas, you actually can get majority of that money back that you pay out in sales taxes or state income taxes since you're selling in multiple states. So there's ways to actually get credits on certain sales taxes and state taxes because you do sell into multiple states. Yeah. And so everybody was only looking at the sales taxes they're paying and the state taxes they're paying in every state. And they could have been working with an expert. If you would actually take those credits and implement them, you would have got this much back, which would have washed out to where you only paid this in sales taxes and state taxes. And so that's a prime example.
Yeah, that's a good point. So these individuals, what Kel's talking about is, you know, retail stores have to pay sales tax. So if you go in and you buy a shirt at a store, and it's $19.99 or something like that, you end up paying whatever, your $22 or whatever it is after tax. So they charge sales tax, and then they remit that sales tax to the state. Now, online companies or retailers, they weren't paying any sales tax. So if it was a $20 shirt, then they'd buy a shirt for $20 on Amazon, and they would get it shipped directly to them. So what ended up happening is the big retailers started to complain a little bit. You know, they've got big money, and they're probably in politicians' pockets, as we talked about, right and left, right? You know, in order for them to kind of level the playing field, it's not fair that they have the overhead of the building. They have all these employees, all this stuff, and then there's somebody over here sitting in their home selling something on Amazon without that same type of overhead that these big box retailers have that are paying sales tax, but this small person over here selling out of their home wasn't paying any sales tax. And so that what they did is they made sure that if you're selling on Amazon and you ship a couple thousand dollars to Florida, you've got to pay Florida sales tax, which is nothing in that state. But again, so I guess
there's not state tax.
Okay, right. Yeah, that's what it is. So, but each state has obviously what's considered or known as a nexus. In other words, if you sell only $500 in a state, that state's nexus might be $600. What that means is you don't pay any sales tax until you get over the nexus. So since you only sold $500 worth of product in this one state, you don't have to pay sales tax. But every state has their nexus, and that's basically the number. If you exceed that, then you have to start paying that, right? And so these guys got thrown a major curveball a year or two ago in terms of having to now start collecting sales tax in each state. And each state's sales tax is going to be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So obviously there's apps that are created for these individuals to be able to track that. But, you know, I would guess that there, a large majority of them probably thought that they were screwed or this sucks. I'm now going to have to track more, meaning their accounting is now more expensive and they're having to now pay sales tax in each state. That's going to take away from their margins. But these individuals got thrown a curveball, and you can still hit a curveball. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You could still win on a curveball. It doesn't have to be down the middle every single time and work in your favor 100% of times. You make the adjustment and you take the swing,
right,
you know, and hope that you hit the home run or whatever it is. But what I'm basically stating is these individuals got thrown something that was unexpected, and they're still able to make it work.
Right.
We might get thrown some things that are unexpected, but we can still make it work.
Mm-hmm.
That's who we are at the core in terms of entrepreneurs, in the core of a business owner, is you figure out how to make things work with what you have available to you. You know, and the whole point of the podcast today is just to, again, one, use all the resources that you have available to you to pay the least amount that you possibly can pay. Use the resources that you have available to continue to innovate in your business and continue to create new things, create new opportunities for yourself inside the business that you currently have or setting up another business or whatever it is, right? And so for us, you know, again, do we have our preferred person? Yeah, of course, but it wouldn't necessarily matter if the other person gets in. We're still going to continue to chug along. We're still going to continue to try to innovate, focus on our business, focus on what we have the ability to control. And if we have to make more money, then we're just going to have to continue to make more money in order to live the same life that we want.
And take care of the people here within our organization. I mean, with, you know, that's where I feel a big responsibility, right? It's like, man, people depend on us, you know? And so that drives me a lot. That drives me a lot to make sure that we are planning properly for the future. And that's the thing, man. Whether you individually or you have an organization, whether your family depends on you or multiple families depend on you, nobody is going to like reach out to just save you.
Yeah.
Like you always have to take action on your end to make sure that you are putting the proper plans in place no matter what does happen. There is great people, there is great minds that are there for you, but you've got to reach out, you've got to get the planning done, and you've got to execute that plan. And if you're that type of person, you got nothing to worry about in this type of climate, no matter what happens with our president, our Congress, our Senate, our House. It doesn't matter unless you are not taking the action, you are not putting the plan in place, and you're not executing.
I would say it only matters if you're not controlling what you have the ability to control.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not even controlling what you can control, and then something else happens outside of that that you can't control, now ultimately there's two things that you're not even able to control, and you're going to be the one that's going to be hit the hardest, right? So again, controlling the controllables. And the idea is to find healthy distractions, right? Today's day 76 for 75 hard kells on day, you
38.
know, 38 or whatever it is. And one of the reasons why I did
halfway.
It. Yeah, almost halfway, like day 37 or 38, right?
Yeah.
But the idea is to create healthy distractions if you don't feel like that you're in a healthy place mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we're now starting to get into the topic of mental health, right? Letting other things outside of what you're doing on a day-to-day basis control the way you think, control mm-hmm. the way that you feel, control the way that you act. Because how you feel is ultimately going to determine how you respond to things or how you act. And so one of the reasons why I did 75 hard was just as a positive distraction to where I'm forced to have intent every single day. I'm forced to focus on the things that I have the ability to control.
Mm-hmm.
And that when you're completely immersed into something that's positive, it's going to kind of drown out the negative a little bit because that's less time for you to sit there in front of a TV or a screen or whatever it is and have things coming at you.
Yeah.
And so make sure that you guys have healthy routines, things like that, that you could make sure that you're always in a clear space mentally. And if you feel like you're in a funk or you're at a low place and you're feeling a lot of uncertainty, is because I think that you feel like that you're not in control. You're not giving yourself the credit that you should ultimately give yourself because you still have the ability to make very solid decisions on a day-to-day basis and feel strong, feel confident, feel disciplined. You know, there's plenty of things that we're not doing on a day-to-day basis that we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that 75 Hard taught me is like, look, no matter what's going on in the world, whether it's raining outside, that's an unforeseen circumstance that now entered into your ecosystem that you have no control over. But you still had a commitment that you were going to go do an outdoor workout. So no matter what's going on outside that you don't have the ability to control, whether it's heavy winds, rain, snow, you know, we have to go into these elements with the exact same mind, ready to dominate, ready to follow through with the commitments.
Even if it's not the exact same mind, still seeing it through.
Seeing it through,
because,
right?
I mean, I've struggled
yeah,
with
true.
It lately.
Mm-hmm.
I've really struggled, actually, lately. Like, man, something's off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I still get up and do my shit every day because that's the quickest way through it.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, it's finding something that is certain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can find certainty when you focus on yourself, right?
Yeah.
When you focus on the things that you have the ability to control. And when you're controlling all the controllables, you know, when something gets thrown your way on the outside that you have no control over, you're a much, much more well-equipped to handle that situation because
yeah.
you're already being the best you could possibly be. Now, if there's an individual that's not doing all the things that they should be doing and a situation happens, it affects that person far more than the other person that's literally been doing everything that they should be doing. Yeah, they're going to say, man, that sucks, but I'm going to still focus on my shit. I'm going to keep doing what mm-hmm. I need to do in order to get where I want to go. Entrepreneurs make decisions on not their feelings, not what they feel like doing. They make decisions based upon what their goals are.
Mm-hmm.
And they follow through with things based upon where they want to be, not what their current emotion is, right?
Yeah.
Whether you're tired, exhausted, frustrated, anxious, whatever it is, right? And you just don't feel like doing it. We follow through and we do it anyways. There's plenty of days that we don't want to show up to the office. There's plenty of days that we don't want to work out. There
mm-hmm.
are days that we love coming to the office and we love working out. You know, those are the ebb and flows of life. Consistency is the most important part of it. And I think when we get thrown a curveball, it kind of knocks us off the path that we were on because we're giving it too much attention.
Yeah.
I would say that if you feel like you're getting knocked off, off track, that's because you're not controlling everything that you have the ability to control and you're letting outside forces come in and dictate what you think's going to happen with your life. And that's not necessarily the case. You know, if everybody literally just buckled down and focused on their shit and their life, their family, all the other families and all everybody else's life would be lovely as well because we're all doing what it takes to focus on what we need to focus on to get where we're trying to go rather than sit here and bitch and moan about an unforeseen circumstance or a little bit of uncertainty.
Mm.
You know, uncertainty never killed anybody, you know. Does it suck? Yeah, absolutely it does. But, you know, we're built for this shit. You know, this is what we do. We go into uncertainty with our head held high, knowing that when we commit to something that we follow it through.
Yep.
You committed to, you know, running a successful business, whether it's Donald Trump or Joe Biden that's in office. That shouldn't deter you from the commitment that you made 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or whatever it is to enter into this business world and become an entrepreneur. So again, this isn't the first thing that's going to happen. We've already had COVID earlier this year that fucking took everybody out spanked their ass, you know,
we keep chugging no matter what this year throws at us.
I mean, it's, it's definitely been one for the record books in terms of uncertainty and in terms of, you know, outside forces coming in and feeling like that they're taking control of the situation.
And dude, some industries have been hit really hard, and it has put them out. But dude, I've seen not a ton, but I've seen some people post and say, "Hey, man, I haven't been willing to share this, but COVID did wipe my business out.
Yeah.
But I shifted. I did this. I did that. Yeah. I opened a new business. I partnered with this guy. We just banked $80,000 our first $80,000 month or whatever. I saw a post just list last night. I was like, dude, just this month we banked $80,000.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, he's already doing better than he was in his last business anyway. Like, if you look at things kind of like, man, there's always a blessing in disguise, right?
Yeah.
You know,
you have to look at
one door closes, another one can open, but it is up to you, right?
You have to look at problems as an opportunity to just harden and to become stronger, to become better, and be the individual that you've said that you've wanted to be all these years.
Exactly.
You know, so.
And that's what makes a real impact in the world, man.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, turn the media off. I mean, we all get sucked into it, but don't let that shit take you down. Like, be present with your family. Be present with your people that do depend on you. You know, be a leader by example. Stay the course. Be consistent, because that is what really makes an impact in this world. It's not who our president is. I know the media is trying to divide us. I know the media is trying to convince us that, you know, he destroyed this and he's going to fix this and, you know, vice versa. But at the end of the day, that what makes America really great, right, is...
Imagine all the successful entrepreneurs only made their decisions based upon who was in office.
Right.
No.
Exactly.
It does. You know, Warren Buffett's still going to invest in the stocks in 2 or 3 months if Joe Biden's in office or not in office.
He's still, you make money going up or down.
He's still going to do what he does, you know, and the idea is to continue to do whatever it is that you're doing and try to double down at this point.
Yeah.
And if any time if you're feeling uncertain, that's a time to double down, just like we did on our fitness. Like, again, we doubled down, and so we did 75 hard. In order to double down and get better, become an individual that's more valuable, more disciplined, stronger than what we were.
And that shit's contagious.
Yes.
Just like negativity is contagious, positivity is contagious. You know, being your best is contagious. Being your worst is contagious.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end of the day, it is the people that make our countries great, whether it's – no matter what country it is, it's the people that make it great.
Yeah.
You know, and you should. You should want to be one of the people that makes an impact by being an example.
Yeah.
So don't continue to get sucked in. I want to see the outcome too. I get it. But at the end of the day, like, make a difference by the people around you.
Yeah. We can't be stuck in the mud sitting here waiting for something else to happen. You got to just trudge forward. You got to continue to move towards the goal that you said that you wanted to accomplish, you know, no matter the circumstance. And so let's not let circumstances outside of our control dictate where we end up in life.
Yeah.
Let's make sure that we double down, triple down on our businesses, on the things that we have the ability to control. I mean, just last month, I think that was probably a record month. For one of our companies, you know, what did we hit, like 1.1 something, you know, almost 1.2 million in revenue, when 3 or 4 months earlier we were hitting like 500,000 or 600,000.
Yeah.
We almost doubled in revenue, you know, the last month, and the month prior we broke a million, you know. So did we take a dip as well when COVID first hit? Yeah, we did for, you know, 3 or 4 months. But now we're doing $500,000 more than what we were doing during COVID.
Yeah.
And we started the year, I think, doing like 700,000 a month. So now we're higher than where we originally started entering the year. We took a dip. We recommitted. We got back on the road. We started communicating with people a little bit more, focusing on what we have the ability to focus on, which is the relationships that we create in business, which is, you know, having company meetings again, bringing the fulfillment team together and talking about where we can improve. So all we're doing is focusing on our business and the improvements that need to be made internally, rather than focusing on everything else that could obviously pull us down that direction of, anger, anxiety, frustration, or uncertainty, or whatever it is, whatever those emotions are that you're currently feeling. But if you're feeling those emotions, again, just use that as a signal that you're not focusing on you as much as you should be, and you're putting too much weight on the outside, right? And so if you're feeling that, it's because you're not controlling what you have the ability to control, and you're letting the uncontrollables control your attitude, control your emotions, and control your actions, which we need to move away from that. So That's the whole point of the podcast is, you know, we feel it. We know that you guys have to feel it as well. And we just wanted to let you guys know it's all going to be okay.
Right.
You know, you heard it from our mouths. It's all going to be okay, you know. And, you know, we can play that back in 6 months or a year, no matter who's in office, and say, see, we told you so.
Yeah, it's see, all going to be
okay.
We were right.
Yeah, we were right. You know, the ego in us wants to tell you that we were right, you know. So, but, you know, we hope you guys, you know, are mentally prepared for anything. And the only way to become mentally prepared is putting yourself in tough situations and overcoming those tough situations that you forced upon yourself. So when an external force comes in and presents you a tough situation, it's just another thing that you have to overcome. It's just another obstacle, and you've already overcome so many that it's not a problem. It's just a little hiccup is all it is, right? And so
I saw a meme the other day I thought was pretty cool. It was like, choose your heart, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, paying 90% in taxes is hard, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, sitting down and tax planning and taking the initiative is also hard. Like, which one's going to have the best result, though? You know, being fat, shape, out of shape, being lazy, that's a hard life, man. Yeah. Working hard, getting out of bed early, going on runs, putting your physical, you know, commitments
fitness,
first and all that stuff is hard, too. But, choose your heart, which is going to be the best outcome for you. And so, you know, that's a good way to look at this episode is like, man, every direction has hard things to it. But choose your heart wisely, right?
Exactly.
So, let's wrap it up.
Guys, make sure that you're checking us out on YouTube. Subscribe to that even if you don't watch YouTube. Just give us a damn subscribe.
Yeah, man.
You know, let's build those things up. Yeah, I mean, we're over here trying to get all fit and shit to look good on the eyes, you know. So make sure that you, you know, give us a look here and there, you know, on YouTube if that's your thing. But obviously, you know, rate and review the podcast if you're listening to it on iTunes. I know some of you guys have reached out asking how you can rate and review the podcast, but you're listening on different platforms that don't have the ability to rate and review. But if you have iTunes, go do that. That definitely helps, obviously, our ranking or something like that. I don't fucking know the algorithms, but
you find us on Parler. We
all these new
find
social
us on Duck Goose or
TikTok. We have like six TikToks
There's eight new unsilenced apps coming out.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll be on all of them one day.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
But now, find us on YouTube. Find us on
iTunes, you know, Instagram, Facebook, all that. Just support the different platforms that we're on. Because I've just seen it happen before where people, you know, the platform gets taken away. Somebody's Instagram account gets taken away. But at least we have the ability to connect with you on Facebook or on YouTube or whatever it may be. And we could rebuild the community, obviously, if you're supporting all these different platforms. But you know, we want what's best for you guys. Obviously, you know, that's why we spend the time to do what we do and give you guys the information that we give you guys. And we try to make sure that it's well thought out, and we try to make sure that it's uplifting, that it's positive, and letting you guys know that you're far more in control than what you give yourself credit for. So make sure you're taking individual accountability for that.
Keep winning, not
placing blame externally if you lose.
That's what we want, man. We want everyone to just keep winning.
Yeah, exactly. So we hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Make sure that you guys are kicking ass as always, and keep it real.